You would like to know more. Thank you. Thanks, Charity.
I greet you all in the name of the Lord, and it's good to be back with you all once again. Should we close our eyes in prayer? Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for the gift of life. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're here with us because you're omnipresent. You're everywhere and anywhere at any time. And so, Father, we ask you to lead this service for us. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will guide, lead, and direct this service throughout. Open our hearts to receive that which you have prepared for us this day. Thank you, Father, that you hear us when we pray. Start with us and finish with us even through into the meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I particularly want to say thank you to the musicians of this church for all their help when I can't find the right hymns. They're always readily available. Sandra, thank you ever so much for your help. And so our opening hymn today is hymn number, I can't remember the number because we were working between us, but it'll be projected behind me. And I'll stand over there so I can also read out. 631. And so our first reading today is taken from the book of Acts, chapter number 1 and verse 8. It's a special scripture to my heart because it's a scripture that ministers to me in a very special way. From the top of my heart, it says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall become my disciples," or my servants, some versions say. in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. But let's read it from the Bible. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Again, we're still reading in Acts chapter number 1, and we'll move on from verses 12 to 26. Matthias chosen to replace Judas. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled where the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the renewal he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong and his body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akedema, that is, a field of blood. For, say Peter, it is written in the book of Psalm, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.' Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph of Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. And that's the end of our reading. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and to him be the glory now and forevermore. Amen. Our second hymn, "To God Be the Glory." To God be the glory, great things he has done. So lofty the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
us great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our rapture when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son.
Beautiful hymn that is. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Our second reading is coming from the book of Isaiah, and it's Isaiah chapter number 6 from verses 1 to 8. Isaiah's commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of the voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." And that is the end of our second reading. May the Lord bless the reading of his word once again. Amen. And that brings us to our third hymn. Faith for God.
Thank you.
We may take our seats, and I wish to first of all share yet another testimony with you all of my life. This happened over 20 years ago, when I first came to Christ and I got born again. I had this hunger in me to serve the Lord. And every time when I woke up, all I wanted was, what can I do for God? There was this fire in my heart to serve the Lord. And so I've entitled my message today, A Servant Heart. A Servant Heart is the title of my message today. I was so hungry to serve the Lord. And I remember the church that I attended at the time when I got born again. I went there and I saw the ushers. They used to wear lovely uniforms. And that blew my heart away. And I thought, in my head, I was thinking, yes, the desire to serve the Lord was there. But in a way, I was inspired by the uniform, the beautiful uniform. So my servant heart was somehow twisted by outward looks. Am I with you? Are you with me? So I'm saying to myself, I really want to join the ushers. Oh, I love that uniform, and I think I would look nice in that uniform. They change every Sunday. And I tried to join the ushering group, and they said to me, no, we have enough ushers. I was disappointed. I went back, and then I looked around in the church. There was another team of the worship team. I thought, oh, no, I know I grew up with a beautiful voice to sing, because Mama used to make us sing every night. We used to read the Bible, the Word, and then sing a hymn, and then pray. And Mama sang in a choir all my life that I knew my mom. She sang in a choir in the church. And it was like a joint choir for the whole town. So I knew somehow I had inherited the singing, because we used to sing a lot in the house as well. So I said, let me join the music. And I went there and I said, oh, I want to become one of you. I want to sing. And I was told, no, we have enough in the praise and worship team. I was disappointed. But I also loved their uniforms and how they stood out when they sang. And then there was another team, the hospitality team, that welcomed people and made sure the coffees were there, made sure the teas. I thought, oh, I can do that. I love people. I'm a people's person. I can serve the coffee. I will definitely stand by the door and smile lovely and usher people in. And I went and I tried to join that, and I was told, no, we have enough in this team. Oh, gosh. Lord, is it too much to ask to serve you? All I want is to serve you in the church. But do you see, somehow, when later on, as I got mature in Christ, as I learned more about God, I found out my intentions were not as holy as I was coming out to say, I want to join this team, I want to join that. My intentions were almost of, I want to be seen serving the Lord. Hello, somebody. Sometimes the intentions of our hearts are not as sincere as God is looking for us. And that was my problem at the time. And I remember going back and crying to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to serve you. I really want to serve you. And a still small voice said to me in my bedroom that night, I want you to clean the toilets and the church. And I thought, no, I'm too smart. I used to have my manicure all the time. I said, not my manicured fingers. I can't clean the toilets. Oh, come on, Lord. People, everybody coming there. I'm somebody who hated the public toilets, as it were. And I'm thinking, a lot of people coming together and using that toilet, and I have to clean it. No, Lord, no, thank you very much. That's okay. I'll stay. But guess what? I had this unsettled heart from the moment that voice spoke to me in my bedroom alone. And I remember driving to church the next day, and I said, okay, all right, with everybody in there. Nobody knew the battles I had. And I said, all right,
if I go to the church and I ask who cleans the toilets, and they don't see you wanting me to be in the toilet, that must be the devil speaking. Hello, somebody. And I went there, and after church, I didn't have that peace in me. And I remember I'm fighting myself as the service is going. I'm praying in my heart of all hearts that when I ask who cleans the toilet, I'll be told, oh, the so-and-so who cleans the toilet. So that I'll come back and I'll say, Lord, where do you want me? I went there and I asked the lady, the elders of the church at the end of this church, the service, and I said, who cleans the toilets? They said, why? I said, I'm just interested. And they said, oh, there's no one. In fact, there was an old lady, one of the elders, they said, it's always her when she has time. She comes here to clean and then she goes, my goodness me. I knew that was my job. Where nobody sees me. Only me and God alone. I was shocked and my heart was racing, but I knew the Lord wanted me to clean the toilets and the church. And so before I ever stood in front of any church, as it were, to speak, I first cleaned the toilets. And so before I ever even thought that I would ever stand in front of a church or any congregation, as it were, in conferences or anywhere, my first task of being a servant of God was to clean the toilets and the church. And that's how I started serving the Lord. But this morning, why I'm sharing with us this, we are in between a period of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Pentecost. And we've just read in Acts chapter number 1 how they were, now Jesus has departed from them, and the apostles are together in the upper room, in the one room. We're not going to go further into the Pentecost of chapter 2 of Acts, of the book of Acts, but we are in between the resurrection and the Holy Spirit coming to anoint them and then to send them forth to do the work that Jesus Christ had left for them and had taught them in the 3 years that he walked with them here on earth. Are we together? And then with their servant hearts in them, they gathered in one place, and we hear there was Mary, Jesus' mother, and we hear there were the brothers of Jesus were there. And what did they do? They prayed constantly, the Bible says. They were praying constantly. And the last words that Jesus leaves with them before he departs the face of the earth is, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it is when you receive that power that's when you become the servants, the witnesses, to go around the world and to serve the Lord. And so sometimes I'm standing here, church, to encourage us that what we may think is our assignment for God may not be that which God has called us for. I can relate to that. That which we may think, oh, I'm called, I know the Bible, I've got a degree in biblical studies, in theology, I've gone to the highest university, I've got a PhD, and I've done this, I've done that, I'm well led. I'm well read and I'm well traveled, and I know may not be what the Lord is looking for, because from the last time I checked, the Bible is saying those he calls, he also equips. Those he equips, he anoints. There's something about that. And there's a difference between the called and the chosen. And that's a story for another day. But here they are in that space between the Pentecost, before them going out and starting the work, and Jesus just departing from them, and then Judas and his scandals happening, and they're sitting there, and they're almost in the midst of, oh, what do we do? Is this all happening? Is it all fiction? Remember, Jesus has appeared to them, and they're like, but we saw him crucified, we saw him buried, and come on, this guy, who is he? Did we really live with the Son of God like that for the past 3 years? And here we are. We have to take forth the work of the Lord. And to add on to that, my first ever time of preaching, I preached on the streets of Luton Town Centre. That's where I used to live. And it was not easy, but the Holy Spirit was with me. And I stood in the middle of the town centre and I preached alone. And my friends thought I had gone cuckoo. And if they thought I had gone cuckoo, I'm still cuckoo up until this day. And I choose to remain cuckoo until the day I die, because I love this cuckoo. Church, it is not easy to serve the Lord. It is not easy to have that servant heart for the Lord. Church, I stand to encourage you that maybe your servanthood for God, for Christ, is to minister to your neighbors. Maybe it's just on your street just to pray for the town that you're living in. Maybe that's your task. Maybe what God is calling you to do is when you walk into that shop, that Sainsbury's, that Aldi, that Tesco, that Co-op, to just share your beautiful smile to somebody, a total stranger. I like it when I do that, when I share my smile. and somebody will, I will smile at them, and then they'll look behind them, say, oh, do you know somebody? And I say, oh, hello. I say, oh, hello. I love that. Kindness is free. Love is free. Freely we have received, freely we must give. And we can share the truth that we know of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the living word of God that has liberated us, because the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You and I sitting here have been set free, and I want to believe each and every one of us has been set free and liberated by Christ Jesus through the death on the cross, through his burying, and we getting buried in that tomb with him, and then rising up again in all glory and in cleanliness, without sin, pure and without sin. And that's the Christ we confess. I'm challenged by the man Isaiah, and that is why I chose to combine that with us here this morning. I'm challenged by him, because when I read most of the callings in the church, in the Bible, most of them, don't get me wrong there, I most probably have not read all of them in depth, but the ones that I know top of my head, everyone that was called gave an excuse, like us sometimes. Moses, when he was called, he says, I can't speak properly. And God says, I'll use your brother Aaron. But together, we are going on this mission. We will do this together. Who else can I pick? I remember Moses says, I'm a stammer. Gideon in the field. And he's highly favored, mighty one, mighty man of valor. And he says, no. I come from the least. I come from Africa. No, we are not. But he says, no, but the Lord has chosen you. The angel tells him, reassures him. And so we have every one of us has an excuse, a solid, valid excuse that we can give for not serving the Lord. Trust me. We all have it. But here's the man Isaiah. Ezekiel, is another one that I find interesting. When we read the calling of Ezekiel from chapter 1 to 3, he says, no, the people I live amongst, oh, they're so hard, they're obstinate, oh, they're like that. He says, no, but my presence will be enough with you. I've called you, I've chosen. Jeremiah gave his own excuse as well. But the Lord reassured him and took him for his work. And we are here today. Each one of us, doesn't matter what gender we are of. It doesn't matter what color we are of. It doesn't matter where we come from, our background. It doesn't matter our age. We all can be servants of the Lord as long as we are living here on earth. Somehow, there's a job that we can do for the Lord, for his glory. This truth that we have received is not just for us. Let's not be selfish about it. Let's share it with others. Isaiah says, then he hears the voice of the Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And in an instant, he says, here I am. Send me. Oh, how I pray. If only we had a heart like Isaiah to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Whom shall I send in your street that you live in your clothes, in your avenue? Here I am, Lord, send me. Whom shall I send in that workplace that you work? Here I am, Lord, send me. Whom shall I send in that club that you belong to? Here I am, Lord, send me. Who shall I send in that school that you go to? Here I am, Lord, send me. Who shall I send in your family? Whom shall I send for the family? Are you willing to be the Joseph of the family, to forgive the unforgivables, to forgive those that have not apologized for their wrongdoing? What a challenge when we have to forgive those that have not even realized they wronged you. Who shall I send to your family to bring unity and peace? Here I am, Lord, send me. And that should be our answer this morning as we leave today, as we go back to our homes. Our answer should be, here I am, Lord, send me. Open my spiritual eyes to see where you're sending me. Open my spiritual ears to hear your voice telling me what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and to who, Lord. I remember one day at Wilkinson's when they were about to close just up the road. I remember walking in that shop and all I had in my heart was just say hello to the lady. And I just said hello to her. And oh, she started talking to me. And I'm like, oh, my time, I'm rushing. And she talked and she talked. Little did I know why I had the prompting to say hello to her. And the next thing we spoke about was, I said to her, she poured out the problems she was facing at the time. And I remember saying to her, but there's a God in heaven. The solution I know is of God in heaven. Oh, you believe in God? You're one of those. I said, yes, I am. And I have seen the power of God over and over again. And I cannot limit him for what he can do. And everything you've told me right now, I know he can sort it out for you. Oh, I don't know. And before long, before you knew it, I led her to Christ right there in the shop. We went behind the cushions, the bedding area, and we stood together and prayed. And she repeated after me and received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. I went about a normal day going in Wilkinson's to buy a few bits as Wilkinson's was closing. They was closing down sale. But there was a soul for God in that shop for that moment. And I was the servant that God wanted to use. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what we are doing. But if we leave our open mind, our open hearts, our open spiritual eyes that see, the Lord will lead us to that which he is calling us for. Church, today I want to encourage us to remain steadfast on the Lord, to continue to hunger for more of this God, to want more of him as we go about each day. Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. I want us to take a moment to pause and just to reflect on ourselves and the paths that we have led up until now, both the good and the bad, and that's okay. And I want us to consider, when we knew that God was asking us to do something for him, but we didn't. Maybe because we were ashamed. What will they think of me? Maybe because we felt inadequate. We felt we were lacking in eloquence of speech. But I don't know the right words to say. But Lord, I have an accent from Africa. That's a good excuse enough, But the Lord is saying, come. Whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Before we go into prayer, our prayer of intercession, I want us to pause for a minute and think. Even right now, maybe the Lord is actually talking to you now and saying, I want you to do this for me. I want you to do that. And maybe it's just to support a certain ministry. It's not you going to speak to anybody. It's just to support something. And that's good enough. Let us pause, and then we'll go into prayer. And now we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with open hearts, with open minds, Lord. And we ask that you search our hearts and our minds, Heavenly Father, and take out anything that is not of you in us, and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Open our spiritual eyes, Lord, where they've gone blind. Open our spiritual ears, Father, that we may hear you, that we may see your promptings, Lord, and hear your voice reaching out to us. May we feel your hand on our shoulders, and as you step with us out into the unknown, sometimes it's confusing with all the hustle and bustle of this world we are living in. But Heavenly Father, we know that your voice and your presence is enough for us. And so we surrender to your will, Lord. We surrender to your guidance, Heavenly Father. We know that there's so much going on in this world at this point in time. There's war. There are people in poverty. There are people in human trafficking. There are people facing so many challenges in this life, Heavenly Father. But we pray, Father God, that your hand that is not too short to reach, will reach them right at the point where they are. And Father, bring them a solution to the problems they face. We pray for the widows this day in Jesus' name. We pray for the orphans. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the refugees. We pray, O Lord, for people that have nothing to eat. Even in this country, Lord, we have met people that are saying, I do not have food. We pray for the homeless. It's so massive in London, Lord. We went the other day and we saw so many people sleeping on the streets because they have nowhere to go. Father, we pray that you meet them at their point of need. We pray for your mercy on us, Lord, when we lose our way and forget that we are your children. Create in us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. We pray for the leaders of the world, of the many countries in the world, Lord. Grant them your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding, Lord, that they may lead the world in the best interests of the people that you have put them above. Lord, we are praying for the leaders of the church worldwide. We pray for wisdom that you granted, O God, for all the servants that you called with your holy calling. We pray for the ability to do your will. We pray, Heavenly Father, for that you grant them the tenacity of heart. And Lord, that they will be encouraged enough to resist the devil, that he may flee from them as they draw near to you and you draw near to them. Lord, as they lead your church in this day and age where there are so many challenges, Father, we pray that they will not falter in their faith and they will not compromise the truth that they know to be the truth of your gospel. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the world at large. We pray for the prisoners all over the world. We pray for those in detention centers. Reveal yourself to them, Lord, and forgive their sins. Father, we thank you that you hear us when we pray, and that we have this freedom of worship, and that we can come to you at any time to pray. We pray for the youth of this day, Lord, the many challenges they are facing. We pray that you will stand with them and help them overcome evil with good. We pray for peer pressure on the youth of this day, that, Lord, you give them, Father, the strength to say no when they need to say no. We thank you, Lord, for the families, the gift of family and marriages. We pray for every marriage of this day, that you bind them together with cords no man can break. We come against the spirit of divorce in the name of Jesus. We pray, Heavenly Father, for children with slow development. We are praying, Heavenly Father, that you will touch and turn around their lives, O Lord, because you are the God of miracles. You've not stopped because the word says you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You healed the deaf and the mute in one instant. Lord, we are praying for those that are struggling with any challenges physically, mentally, and spiritually, that, Lord, you will visit them in a special way in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the meeting that is following this service after. We pray that you'll be in the midst of the church. And Father, that you will guide them and help them in one accord to come to the best resolutions for the best interest of the church. We pray, Heavenly Father, for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding on the leadership of this church. And all the churches, our sister churches, Rockingham Road Church and the other church at the top of the road. We pray for the Baptist church at large in the whole world, that, Lord, you'll be at the center of every decision that is made for the church. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We honor you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. As we pray in the name that is above every name, the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And that brings us to our closing hymn. No, that's our fourth hymn. Sandra says, oh, that's our fourth hymn. Nearer, my God, to thee.
Thank you.
we may take our seats. I specifically chose that song, Nearer, My God to Thee, towards the end, after we have shared everything we have. I want us to sit there and think if there's any one of us in our midst, as we are coming to a closing of this service, that you feel in your heart, surely the Lord has been knocking on my heart for some time for me to serve him in this way, in that way. You don't need to tell us. We don't need to know. That is between you, your assignment between you and your God. And that will remain so, because you will answer to him on that day. And I will answer for my own calling. But if you're here today and you know that maybe all you want is, Charity, you're talking about this Christ, I've heard about him, but I don't know him as my personal Lord and Savior. And you're here today. With our heads bowed down, we're going to say a prayer. And you feel that it's you, you can repeat after me as we say this short prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I come before you this day and I ask Heavenly Father that you send me with the confidence that comes from you alone to do your will as your servant in this life. Forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. Teach me to honor you and teach me to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. Fill me with your unconditional love and compassion for your people all around me. Help me to forgive as you forgive me all the time. Help me not to judge, but to love as you have loved me. Help me, Lord, to receive your mercy, for sometimes it gets too hard and I don't know which way to go. Point me in the right direction as I walk with you. Help me be your ambassador here on earth and never to put your name to shame. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And that brings us to our closing hymn, Give Thanks.
Thank you.
And now it is time for us to share the grace. May the grace of our Lord